I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you remember about an hour ago where I was like, you want to hear Steve Kerr fire you up? And then we never hit that thing.
Yep.
Now we're going to hit that thing.
Oh, we're in full playoff mode right now. You know, the game plans are much more detailed and specific. We look at every game now as a playoff game because we want to avoid, you know, that 7-8 slot. And everybody we're playing, it seems like, is in a, you know, similar spot. And so these games are really intense. So I've been sitting in my room watching Laker tape the last couple hours. So, you know, this is what it's about right now. It's fun.
I love hearing Steve Kerr say we're already in playoff mode, and it might be a little bit of a visual into how they're going to go about doing this with three games. Check it now. Three games in the next four nights. This is really, really intense what's about to unfold here in the next couple of hours. And I think there's a lot of strategy that goes into it. You know what I mean? These are the kinds of moments where I feel like the modern NBA kind of starts shaking, because what do you do?
Hot shot.
Well, the whole idea has been we always keep our eyes on the prize. We are not going to blink. What matters is the health of Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green once we get to the second half of April. Okay, I get it. Yeah, I'll get on board with you, but it's April 3rd. And I don't know how much of a second half of April there will be if the next 10 days don't go well. So you got to balance that and then balance it off of a two-week road trip. And this is the last night. And Denver is already in their hotel room, tucked away here in San Francisco, getting ready. They're going to sit there. Jokic's shoes are off and his feet are up on his big old bed.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere in the fancy hotel watching this game tonight. And then you got to go get on a plane and land back here at SFO at 2 in the morning or whatever the hell it's going to be and get yourself to your home and get ready for that one. Followed by the young upstart, we don't even know what the hell's going on, Rockets, and Dylan Brooks, who, by the way, got himself suspended for a game last night by kicking Colin Sexton in the you-know-what.
Oh, boy.
Got his 16th technical foul. But I'm pretty sure that the game he's going to miss is not the game on Sunday. He's going to miss the game before that. So now he's going to be all up on his high horse,
sure,
ready to go for Draymond Green on Sunday. This is an unbelievable little stretch, and I'm really fascinated to see the way Steve goes about playing it.
Yeah, and I think you're right about, if they fall behind and it looks like the game's going to be tough to win, he may pull the plug. And I talked about this before. Lakers with 7 games in 11 days. The Warriors have 7 games in 11 days also. These two teams both have 7 to go. The only difference is LA's got 4 road and the Warriors only have 3 on the road. Excuse me. Each team, though, with 2 back-to-backs the rest of the way. And you talked about this back-to-back at LA, home to Denver. And think about the Memphis back-to-back, home to Boston, and then home to Golden State. So, yeah, tough back-to-back against two very good teams, but Memphis had the benefit of at least staying home.
Right.
The Warriors, and I know it's a short flight, it's an hour, hour and 10, whatever it is, but still, you play tonight, national TV, it's over at 10 or 10:30, media 11:30, on the plane at midnight, you land at 1, you're home at 2, and you get up tomorrow and it's right back to work.
Well, they woke up in Tennessee yesterday.
Yeah, Tennessee.
Yep. Right? Then they come to L.A. And again, like these conversations get tough because I know how those of you out there listening who, hell, you probably spent your day delivering packages or lifting lumber or who knows what you might have been doing with your day. And you do not want to hear how hard it is that the Warriors have had to play 6 basketball games in 2 weeks, and they got fancy food everywhere they went, and chartered flights on their 6 flights around the country during 2 weeks, and the fanciest high-rise hotel rooms that you could possibly find. And now they're in Los Angeles, California, and it's 72 degrees out. Oh, boo the freak who.
Wow.
I know. But I don't look at it that way. I don't feel sorry for the human beings. But there is sympathy for the basketball. I do think that years and years of data will suggest that these scenarios that we're talking about, they lead to the basketball. And it is fair not to assume, and I hope it doesn't work out this way, and it is unpredictable, so it might not, but it's fair if like you kind of lean into tonight thinking, well, the Lakers are probably more ready to play basketball than the Warriors are. Doesn't mean that the shots won't go in for the Dubs and maybe they pull one off, but the Lakers are probably more ready for this one than the Warriors are.
Absolutely. They've had 3 days off at home, and the Warriors are wrapping up a 6-city road trip that took 2 weeks. And it's the same thing as when we talk about the Niners schedule when it came out last year, and I looked at a Green Bay, Buffalo, back-to-back, 2-game road trip in November into December, and I looked at it and thought, well, that's a scheduled loss. And similarly, when you look at the NBA, you can look at certain games and say, well, that's going to be a tough spot. And the NBA is a little bit different because, as we've talked about, Mark, it's a make-or-miss league. So just because the Warriors are at the end of a road trip, if you go out and shoot 50% from three, if you go 22 of 44 from three, you're going to win the game. Even though
yes,
all of these factors are lined up against you, Lakers home, Lakers rested, you're not rested, end of a road trip, blah, blah, blah. If you get hot, you can still win the game. But when you just look at the spot right here, this is a bad spot for the Warriors. And also tomorrow is a bad spot as well.
Yes.
Denver's
yes,
here. So it's almost a Denver home game. Denver's here. They're chilling. And they didn't play any of their players last night. So not only is tonight a bad spot, tomorrow I think is equally a bad spot.
Right. Which is why, like right now, if you offered me a split, I'm in. Offer it to me right now, I take it.
Mark, you want the split?
I'll take it.
Which one do you want?
Don't care.
No. That's, you don't get to answer that.
I don't care.
If you want the split, you got to tell me which one you want. You want a national TV win over LeBron, or do you want a Chase Center homecoming against the Joker? Which one would feel better?
Well, that depends.
On?
Well,
I'm just asking you your feelings.
I know, but my first thought went to I'd actually rather have the Denver game, not because that one like matters more or whatever. Like I despise the Lakers, so I'd like them to beat the Lakers, and it's a road game, so it's more impressive and all of those things.
Yep.
But go to the emotions of it. If you win tonight, now you're like, let's get greedy.
Yep.
And we're home. So you end the 2-game stretch disappointed. But if you lose, yep, if you lose tonight, you go into tomorrow kind of nervous, but you're like, okay, I get it. The Lakers are super rested and the Warriors weren't. Get in your own bed, sleep a little late tomorrow. Why don't you sleep till 10 a.m., right? And then get yourself right in your home building and welcome the former MVP into the building and show the Denver Nuggets, who you haven't beaten, I think, in 13 tries, that you can beat them. I think that I would come out of the 48 hours feeling better about Warrior basketball if it was the second game, not the first one. It's only my like rivalry emotions that want tonight.
I get that. It's a little bit of a...
So I'll pick tomorrow.
Okay. And I appreciate you working your way through that. And I hope I didn't put you on the spot too much. I know it's
You're allowed to put me on the... That's what we do here.
It's been a little bit of a roller coaster of emotions here on this Thursday, best day of the week.
It's been a fun day.
Denver, you haven't beaten this year. And it's been... I think it's 9 straight you've lost to Denver in the regular year. And you haven't beaten the Lakers this year either. So I'm thinking about it not only from the rivalry angle of it. For me, to answer my own question, I'd rather have this one because of my long-standing hatred, sports hatred, of the Lakers and just what that's always meant, where the Lakers have had the Warriors' number historically over the years, and so you haven't beaten the Lakers this year. You're 0-3, but I do get your point about the high highs, and we're going to be down at Splash tomorrow, so if you're going to the game, come see us. So if you get a split and you win tonight, we are starting to lick our chops about, I mean, the 5. Let's talk about the 4.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk about the 4.
Absolutely.
But then you go out and you lose to Denver tomorrow at home. It's like, okay, can we stay out of the play-in again? Or the reverse, to your point, is, man, we just can't. LeBron and Luka, they swept the season series, and it sure feels like, man, this is a team we don't want to face in the playoffs. But then you go out and you beat Denver, a team that has also owned you. So it kind of works. Either way, it kind of works both ways emotionally.
Do you want an update on what the Timberwolves are playing right now?
Basketball?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They're in Brooklyn. Early second quarter, they're down by a point.
They're in trouble.
Got to play from behind.
Yeah. And they got they got restaurant quality back, right? DiVincenzo.
I think so. Yes. He has gone into the game and gone 0-3. For 0 points. They have a very odd, low-scoring vibe going out there. The first quarter was 20-19. First quarter.
Whoa.
20-19.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Warriors almost put 50 on Memphis a couple of days ago.
I know. So, Minnesota, they scored a bucket, so now they're ahead. Anyway, okay. Yeah. So, but they got a close game going, which, you know, it's very, very early. And then nothing else that is currently going well. Actually, no, I stand corrected. The Grizzlies are also in action at Miami, and they are very early second quarter and trailing by 3. The Miami Heat have been playing oddly good basketball, and I think whipped the Celtics last night in Boston. The weirdo result.
Yeah, and again, Boston is kind of on that island.
Yeah, the cruising shout out maybe Gilligan, a little bit.
And they're the 2 seed, and they will be the 2 seed. So it doesn't really mean that you can mail it in. I look at Oklahoma City, and they continue to be on pace. Not on pace, but they might win 70.
Dude, they're killing people. They are just, like, they are relentless. They do not need these games, and they don't just win. They win by 23.
Yep.
Every night, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. It is wild. God, Memphis was there a few nights ago, and it was, like, tied at the end of 3, and they won by 22. It's just like, Mike, they are so devastatingly good in the regular season.
Right.
And how good would it feel if the Warriors tip off tonight and Minnesota and Memphis have already lost?
It would be awesome.
Oh, my God, that would be such a relief.
It would be incredible. And it's possible.
It's possible.
Yep.
They're both locked into some interesting ones. Yeah, Heat up by 5, and the Nets and T-Wolves are tied, but very, very early second quarter, so that means a pile of nothing. At least at the moment.
Okay? And Denver has won 12 of 13 in the regular season against Golden
12
State.
12 of 13.
12 of 13. Right. So the one Warrior win was back in 2022 when they won by 11. And I know that they were able to beat them in the playoffs as well, but Denver's had complete ownage over the Warriors.
Including 9 in a row.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you want it? By the way, remember Kumar in Ukiah? Who was like,
is he back on hold?
And then I was like, you don't. And then we just hung up on him.
Yeah.
Well, he texted his point.
How's he doing? Is he good?
I think he's good.
Hope he's good.
You want to hear what he had to say?
Yeah, I hope he's not mad about the quick hook that you gave him.
No, I think he got it. He understood what was going on. It's not his fault.
It's not you, it's us.
Yeah. This is Kumar in Ukiah. I just wanted to correct dibs a little.
Okay. He didn't need the ding. He didn't need that.
But it was funny. It was funny. Anyway, it's less about the calls while driving to the hoop and more about the constant mauling, holding, and wrestling that is happening when he brings the ball up or is off ball. What can Steph do about that? Huh? Dibbers?
Did he say that?
Yes.
Huh, Dibbers?
I read that word for word.
Well, Kumar, and this is going to be unpopular, and my partner, Mark with a K, and I have...
Unpopular.
Mark with a C is, I think, with Mark with a K for a change in that I believe he needs to be a stronger advocate verbally and otherwise for himself because the nice guy act, we know that nice guys finish last, and he's done it for 16 years, and yet this haranguing, this mauling Kumar, and mauling to me feels a little heavy-handed.
Mauling, holding, and wrestling.
Well, holding, yes. I would say bumping, clutching, grabbing, fondling, all of that mauling. I mean, he's not being mauled.
You better be careful.
I am being careful, yeah, Grandy. These are words in the English language. I'm allowed to use them. Touching.
Just because you're, like, being caressing. Mauled doesn't mean it's in your face. Like, if somebody,
right in
like,
the face.
Yeah. In the right. face. If somebody like brings their arm down with the clenched fingers, that's mauling.
Okay.
Remember Craig Henderson, the famous story about the tiger that went into the stands?
Oh, God, we're back to this.
Well, no, but
this story never gets old.
But he got mauled.
San Mateo High School.
San Mateo High School. Give me a moment.
1992.
Hang on. Is my sister's freshman year, and she was class of 90. So
86, 87.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was in the fall, so I guess it would have been 86.
I love it.
1986.
What a year 86 was.
I was 11. And yeah, Marine World.
I was working at Safeway.
Marine World Africa USA.
Red Hill Shopping
Center. At the time was in Redwood Shores. And again, for those of you who are 30 years old, just I'll give this real quick so that you can realize how much the world has changed in the last 35 years, because if somebody pitched this idea today, you'd be fired just for pitching the idea, let alone doing it. But the school partnered with Marine World, and they brought Bengal Tigers, actually a Bengal Tiger, yeah, onto the stage at a rally at San Mateo High School to hype up the little big game, which was San Mateo versus Burlingame. And they had the football team in the first three rows of the auditorium, and they brought the tiger out, and high school students do what high school students do, which is start oohing and ahhing, freaking out, because there's a freaking tiger. I mean, fully grown, big-ass Bengal tiger on the stage. Mm. And when the tiger heard all of the screaming and yelling, the tiger freaked out.
Oh, boy.
And the trainer's sitting there like with a leash. Like, what are you going to do, trainer?
One of those retractable leashes where your little puppy, like, runs too far ahead and then you... Zzz.
I'm like, did you have a little holder for the poop bags,
totally.
Too?
Exactly.
Like, what are you going to do when the tiger wants to go somewhere?
Oh, he's got that little green bag in case kitty goes doo-doo.
You're going to go along for the ride, bro. So that tiger goes flying into the stands.
Yeah.
And the tiger mauled Craig Henderson.
It's a bad beat.
Who now, by the way, goes by a different last name and runs a restaurant in the East Bay.
Okay.
I apologize. I don't remember the name. But when I first told this story at the other station, within an hour and a half, Craig had called. Because everyone called him. And they're like, dude, they're talking to him about you on the radio. And he called. And he goes by a different name and runs a restaurant out in the East Bay. Super nice guy. But yes, he got mauled. And the reason I bring it all up, it was on his arm. Not that that's like okay. But I think the way you phrased it made it sound like Steph's not being mauled, because it's not like he's being scratched on his cheek.
He's not being mauled.
And I
will go to the definition of mauling, and we can go to the phones, 888-957-9570.
Let's not.
To maul someone means to attack and injure them violently, often with teeth or claws, causing serious bloody wounds.
That sounds exactly like what Memphis was doing.
So Steph is off the ball trying to do a little baseline cut, yeah, and all of a sudden now he's being bitten by Ja Morant.
No.
Desmond Bane is literally mauling him with his claws.
With the nails. Yeah, with the nails.
He's got scratches all over his shoulders and arms.
All over his body. He's being mauled.
To be fair, so do a lot of NBA players.
Right. To attack and injure them violently. So, Kumar, I apologize for coming down your road, and feel free to text again.
Way to go, Kumar.
Yeah. And just one interesting sidelight to your story, which I've heard that story 13 times. And you can tell it 74 more times.
I'll do it again tomorrow.
And I'm going to love it.
It's an amazing story.
I just simply Googled three words. Craig Henderson mauled.
And?
Bloop, 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 bloop.
There it all is.
November 15th, 1986. LA Times. UPI. On and on and on.
Oh, yeah.
It was November 15th.
Was it 86?
1986, yeah.
Nailed it. Good. Good. Yeah. So, and by the way, it takes some doing, if I remember this correctly, but I can find the video online.
Oh, I've seen it. You showed me.
I can find the video online. It takes some doing. It's like it ended up on a Reddit post or something like that. It's kind of like difficult to navigate and find, but you can find it.
Yep.
If you want to take the time to go Google all this stuff, and you can see the Tiger jump off of the stage into the crowd and maul one of, I think he was a running back. He's a fullback.
Defensive lineman, it says.
Oh, well, you know, in high school, they play both sides.
450-pound Tiger, 210-pound defensive lineman.
Tiger win.
Grandy, if you get the game show music here, plus or minus 4 stitches, how many stitches did Craig Henderson need to close up the wound that actually was, ladies and gentlemen, a mauling?
A mauling.
I'm going to give you over under 4 stitches because snitches get stitches. And also high school students get stitches.
I know it was a lot. How many stitches you got? A lot.
You're in your bag today. I appreciate it. You've had some good ones today.
Oh, boy. I mean, I know. Okay.
It's time to play. How many stitches did Craig need after he actually got mauled off the ball, too, like Steph Curry?
Just for fun, I wish I could remember what number he wore, and I would just guess that just for fun. But
I like that.
I'll say Craig got 37 stitches.
Grandy, if you would, please. Oh, give him one more. Thank you. Okay. 78 stitches.
Dang, double that thing. Yeah.
78 stitches.
What an awful line of 4.
What do you mean?
I know, yeah, you didn't give me enough leeway. Like, that's so random.
Dude.
How many stitches plus or minus 4?
And he did go over, so technically didn't he get it right?
No, he went
over
way
under 4.5.
Right.
No. He was off by
41 stitches.
He means within 4 of the actual
plus or minus. Yeah.
And I think we both thought the over-under was 4
I'm
stitches.
I'm thinking the over 4.5 stitches. Easy.
Dude, if he gets 4 stitches, then it doesn't make UPI. And you guys don't even know what UPI is. And every time that you do game show, I get like plus or minus a half a point.
Yeah.
I gave you 4
That's
stitches.
That's because it's a spread, not stitches from a tiger.
You were
That's
almost,
completely different.
This is a part of your life. Like, your sister was there.
I was 11.
It's your story. It's your story.
I wasn't there.
78
I was
there. Stitches.
Like, I my sister came home, told me all about it. It was all over the news.
Yep.
Right? My parents worked in the district, so, like, this was quite a thing. I think meetings were called. I do think they were meetings.
I would imagine.
They weren't on Zoom.
Yeah.
That didn't exist. People had to actually get into a room and talk out. That all just happened. How do we not do that again? And so they haven't. Anyway.
And the great piece of journalism, the lead, as 1,400 stunned students watched. A 450-pound Bengal tiger leaped off an auditorium stage during a noisy high school pep rally and mauled a football star.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a mauling, Kumar.
Yep.
That's a mauling.
And
Steph
they did
getting bumped
by
off
the way,
off the ball.
No, they did call it. They called the foul.
Right. That's
they
a
did.
Flagrant.
Yeah, they did. Oh, yes. They kicked the tiger out.
Right. it's an automatic
rally.
Flagrant,
yeah,
too.
He was ejected.
Guessing that was not the end of his punishment.
Yeah. Well,
I hope not. I don't know what happens with the tiger after that.
We know what happens when a dog bites a child.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I don't just take the tiger back to the zoo. Like,
right.
Just put him back. Like, don't bring him out anymore.
Exactly. You lose your privileges. You are no longer our road tiger.
Right. Don't go in there. This is why you don't go in there. That's where the tigers go.
It just...
Same way you don't bring the tiger to where the people are. You don't go in there. That's where the people go.
Right. Anyway. We're coming up on 40 years and just, I mean, we can get off this because we got a big game tonight.
Well,
but
we got Steve Kerr on the whistle.
Not on the Tiger?
On the Steph Curry whistle.
Okay, I'd
love
to
hear what he had to say?
Let's do it.
All right.
I just think Steph is a very different player than all the other stars in the league. He's the only one, the only star who plays off the ball as much as he does. And he's the only guy who faces, you know, the kind of face guarding, and we call it top locking defense. And I think what happens sometimes is the officials just aren't used to making that call where he's being held and grabbed away from the basket. To me, those should be automatic fouls. That's, you know, the league makes a point of talking about freedom of movement. But let's face it, most of the league plays pick and roll. And so they're used to guarding pick and roll or calling pick and roll fouls and seeing that kind of action. I don't think our officials are as used to seeing off ball stuff, and that's honestly that's my biggest complaint when I, you know, when I'm talking to the refs or when we send clips into the league. It's almost always about off ball holding of Steph because that's supposed to be a foul.
You know, what catches my attention there is you can sit here and be like, yeah, they're not used to seeing that because he is a unique player. But to me, I don't understand how that's an excuse. He's not new. He's been doing this for 16 years.
And they play this way, right?
Right. And by the way, in this form, he's been doing this for 12 years with high level of success. He's one of the most famous players out there. I've already told you that officials have meetings to discuss the specifics of the players who are playing in that game that night. How can, and I'm glad Steve called it a complaint, how can you pass the idea of, well, we're not used to seeing that? How can you not be ready for that, knowing that that's exactly A, what he does, and B, how teams defend him? And I don't want to spend the rest of the hour talking about refs and
either.
Steph Curry either, but anyway, that's a wild sort of an idea to me that they're still, quote, not used to it.
Agreed. The man has played more than 1,000 NBA basketball games in the regular season. And of those 1,000, you could say that 700 of them have featured him playing this way, which is run around, get screens, catch and shoot, and Steph Curry, he's on the move. Forget Darren Ruff. Curry is on the move. So this is not a surprise, nor should it be. I just wonder why, and I do understand why, because like we talked about earlier, you can call a foul on almost every possession, and a lot of times the off-the-ball fouls are ignored. But when Steph Curry thrives on movement off the ball, and when he's being restricted off the ball, these things should be called. Steve's right.
No Kuminga update yet? We got nothing? I was just thinking about that. I'm poking around. I don't see anything yet. So anyway, stay right where you are.
Bottom of the hour, right?
Yeah,
coming up in 3 minutes.
Yeah, there'll be an injury report here in 3 minutes, but that injury report may well just still say questionable. And you know, until the Warriors announce something in LA tonight that Jonathan is in or out, we don't know. So remains questionable at this hour. And we'll have that for you as soon as it comes down, and it should be any minute now.
For home games, Steve normally talks at 5:15, but because they're on the road, he'll probably talk after J.J. Redick talks. So he should be talking at any moment, and
any moment.
We'll probably have an update.
Probably get that update. And again, the NBA releases another injury report in 2.5 minutes, so I'll pop that open and take a look when that comes down. But my sense is it's still going to say questionable for Jonathan Kuminga. Now, earlier on in the show, we were talking about the idea of whether or not, like, look, I don't want to get into the semantics of when the hard games start and all that. We've called this week a gauntlet. They were going against four playoff teams in the West all in a row. Now, they beat Memphis, so now Memphis is suddenly the 8 seed. So for the moment, they're kind of on the outside looking in of the top six. But I do think there are some Warrior fans who are now still looking, even though Memphis was convincing to a certain degree, they've also lost 7 of 8 games. And so you come into tonight and go, this is the actual real physical challenge. And let's be real, these are the two teams that people always bring up as the matchups the Warriors don't want in the playoffs. I hear more people like hope for Oklahoma City than these two teams. Lakers tonight, Nuggets tomorrow. Everyone wants to avoid these two. So I think it's fair to at least ask everybody out there, Do you need to see something tonight and tomorrow before you are all in, all the way convinced about the Warriors and contention in the Western Conference?
Yes, is the answer, because this year you have not beaten Denver and you've not beaten LA. And Grandy pointed it out before. You've lost 9 in a row to Denver, and I believe it's 12 of 13. And the Lakers, I know that this Laker team is not the Laker team you faced before. This Warrior team is also different, but you haven't beaten the Lakers yet this year either. And if you sit where you are come playoff time as the 5 seed, you're most likely going to face either LA or Denver in that 3-4. Houston's now 3 clear of LA and Denver with 5 to go. So to think that Houston will fall out of the 2 is a bit of a long shot. So it feels to me right now, Lakers, Nuggets, Warriors, T-Wolves, Clippers, those 5 are probably going to be 3-7. And I do think that Memphis is going to stay at 8, although right now they are winning over Miami.
By 3.
Yeah, late second quarter. But of those teams, LA, Denver, Golden State, Minnesota, Clippers, and Memphis, of those 6, I'd put Memphis right now as the 6th most likely.
Well, we asked Steve what the win on Tuesday night sort of convinced him with regard to his team. Here's what he said.
I think that was validation of how we've been playing and how we feel about ourselves, you know, to go on the road and win a tough game like that. But the beauty of this time of year as you head into the playoffs is you have to do it night after night, and that's what the best teams do. So I'm excited about, you know, the last 7 games, you know, with so much on the line, just to see if, you know, can we keep this up? Can we keep playing at a high level? I shots are going to go, shots maybe won't go, and that changes from night to night. But, you know, can we play with that kind of energy? Can we win those battles? Can we take care of the ball? Can we, you know, get all the loose balls and play with energy, play together? That's what makes it really fun as a basketball coach, when you see your team functioning in that manner, and that's what has me so excited about these guys right now.
Respond to that in a second, but the 5:30 injury report is out. Kuminga remains questionable.
Okay.
Nothing firm with regard to that injury report. So, yeah, we'll wait for more from Steve Kerr, who will probably speak pretty soon, and we'll get some sort of an affirm answer on Jonathan Kuminga and availability tonight. But outside of that, what we were just listening to him talk about, yeah, I mean, there's no other way, I think, to sort of summarize it at this point. I'm not going to take Tuesday night away from them. But I also think the nature of the conversation that we were having going into that game, when everyone looked at these 4 games, what did we say about Tuesday night? Like, well, that's the one you have to get.
Yeah.
Partially because it was the first one, but also because it was the easiest one. That was going to be the easiest one. They're the worst of the 4 opponents. It was the first one. You're coming off of rest.
They
They had to play Boston the night before. All of those things come into play. And so I give them all the credit in the world for Tuesday, but I see everything that's coming over the next 4 days as even harder.
Yeah, especially tonight on the road, end of a road trip against a rested LA team. Not only rested, but they had 3 days off at home. They played Sunday, rested Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And the Lakers, I know, have a similar gauntlet, 7 games in 11 days. The Warriors have the same. Lakers have 4 on the road. The Warriors have 3 on the road, but no matter what happens tonight, you turn right around and you take on arrested Denver. You travel. Denver's already here. Denver sat a bunch of their dudes yesterday, so they're going to be rested as well. So this back-to-back that the Warriors have, LA and Denver, primetime tonight, short turnaround tomorrow, it's brutal.
We got a Kuminga update.
Okay.
Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga update. However, it is not yet firm as far as his playing time tonight. Anthony Slater reports that Kuminga just emerged for his pregame shooting routine. So that's good. He's going to go out and warm up for the game. But they're going to watch that warm up before they give full clearance. The sense is Kuminga's going to try to give it a go. The sense is. So he's going to warm up with purpose, warm up with the thought that he's going to go. But they want that warm-up to happen before they officially announce him as in for the game tonight.
All right. That's great news. Yep. That tells me that even if at the 11th hour, last minute, he's not able to go, he's probably good to go tomorrow, I would guess, because if you're going to go through these steps, he's in uniform, he's going through the routine, he's getting ready. He's ramping up as if to play. That tells me that he's very, very close.
Well, it also, yeah, to me, it says that the injury is, it's not, you know, it's no longer that much of an issue. So that's a relief. And then also, again, when you're talking about a tired team. And so whatever anybody's Jonathan Kuminga opinion is, and how much you want him in there, I just don't see any downside to having extra bodies who can put the biscuit in the basket. I don't see any downside to that in a game like tonight. I don't know exactly how the game is going to unfold, but the Warriors could use as many healthy bodies as possible.
Especially when it comes to defending LeBron James.
Yep.
And, you know, Moses is going to get that assignment a lot, and if Kuminga is able to play 20 minutes, 22 minutes, whatever it is, there's a guy who can go out there athletically, energetically, and try to help to contain LeBron James when he's out there.
You guys want to try call?
Let's do it. This try is call? Fun. Let's do it. Let's all go right. to the phones.
Okay. Well, it's one of our closest friends. It's Jonathan in the city. And so, Jonathan, we will bring you on with the understanding that you will not be offended if we kick you off of the air right away.
Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. What are you doing?
I'm just waiting for the next flight on my way to Lisbon. So I'm going to, you know, drop a take before I call again, maybe 2 weeks from now.
I was going to say, you're going to Portugal right now, Jonathan?
On my way to Portugal. Not yet. Still waiting for the airplane.
What,
2 hours wait.
Are
so
you
on
just,
my way to Portugal.
Is this just for fun?
Oh, no. It's me and the wife. We try to travel once a year, you know, just work hard, play hard, right?
Okay, so the answer was yes.
Yeah,
this is just
yeah.
for fun. Like, you're not going there for work.
Oh, no. I don't deliver mail in Lisbon, bro.
Okay, right, I understand.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, that would be a long-distance delivery if you had a couple of letters with you and they said, you know what, Jonathan, we need you to take this to Lisboa.
I'm trying to figure out how a postal worker is just like, yeah, hon, let's go to Portugal. But I'm not going to ask
That'd
questions.
Great,
yeah, whatever you got, you got. Good for you. Anyway, what's up, Jonathan?
So, yeah, you asked a question if I need to see more of from the Warriors, and the answer is no, because my biggest pet peeve for a couple of years now watching Warriors games is a turnover and getting outshot in the free throw line. And ever since Butler arrived, those two things has been taken care of. So, I still want them to win this next three games at least. And I really believe they're going to be competitive. I don't know if they're going to win at all. I expect them to go 3-0. Like I said in my previous call, if they win against Memphis on a nail biter, I expect them to go 4-0 the next four games. And one down, three to go, they're going to get better, man. I just have a lot of faith in our guys, Steph and Dre and now Jimmy. And it seems like all the guys, even the young guys, have finally figured out what's needed, what the Warriors need for them, for the whole team to be successful. And everybody fits now like all those gears in an engine, you know. So now we're looking at an almost perfect machine. They need still get better a couple more notches, and we'll be on our way.
Jonathan, thanks, man.
Safe travels.
Safe travels.
Yep.
And an optimistic viewpoint with regard to all of this. I don't want this to – there's no negative Nelly. There's no pessimism. I just want to stress how hard this is, what the Warriors are going to try to do here over the next, we got about 28 hours?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, about 28 hours. What they're trying to do here is really, really hard.
Well, even beyond that, it's 7 games in 11 days. And so you've got a pair of back-to-backs. You've got a gauntlet of tough opponents here, followed up by more basketball games more often, and all the while – you've got multiple teams breathing down your neck. So there's no real wiggle room. And we talked about it before, Mark. If they can get to 48 wins, 48 might be enough to be the six. Well, right now, you're 44-31. That would mean you wind up going 4-3 the rest of the way. That might get you the 7 seed.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
maybe. Could get you the 8.
Could.
I don't know. Yeah, you're going to have to beat some good teams here.
Right.
You're going to have to do some work. Clippers next week, Houston, Lakers, Denver, you know, there's I know the Spurs get tucked into there. That's nice. But there's a couple back-to-backs and really hard teams. There's a lot of work still to do. Rad in Daly City next up here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Rad, what are you doing?
Hi. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are awesome, you know.
Every day I listen to you, I learn a lot. Let's talk about Steph Curry, because for me, this is something that is really timely to talk about and has to be changed. Because, you know, here's the point. You know, when we watch basketball or even any kind of sports, there's always a reason, not because you're just a fan of the team. You know, any kind of sports, you watch for the superstar. You know, you go to Chase Center and buy the ticket because you wanted to watch the superstar. So therefore, there's a principle behind protecting, like you said, protecting the superstar. You know, so when we talk about calling foul, you know, it's the duty or the obligation of the referees, you know, to call the game, you know, fairly and squarely, you know. But I know we're dealing about human beings, you know. You don't see everything, and you make mistakes. But you know, the problem here is referees don't have disciplinary. Do we have that? You know, if you call like five wrong calls in one game, you have to be retrained or things like that. I don't think we have that, right?
Well, thanks very much. They have reviews.
Right.
What I don't know, though, and what fans never do get to find out, is what does a bad review lead to? I do know that, for instance, there is a system in place where referees earn deeper playoff games based on how they perform. So they make a lot of money for those games when they get down to the end. So if they're doing well, they get more games. They get more games at the end, more playoff series. If they're struggling, they get less or none.
Or they get completely removed from the roles and you get replaced as a referee. So there are checks and balances. It's not at the level that many fans want where, you know, a ref gets absolutely formally rebuked for a bad game.
We'll be live from Splash tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Hope to see a bunch of you. Y'all getting off work early and going down to see Warriors and Nuggets on what's supposed to be a beautiful day again. Come see us, Splash, 2 to 6, and we'll be out there on that front patio so you can come right up and do a high five or whatever. Huge game against the Nuggets. Brought to you by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff, which is what we're about to do. Evan Giddings is getting ready for Warriors Live, which is only 19 minutes away. A little bit more from Willard and Dibbs, though, coming up next.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not five, not six, not seven.
LeBron James.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Poll results?
I can't wait.
Poll results.
Yeah.
Engagement is everything, Dibs.
Yes, I know, Mark.
On the court and in life. Vote in our Engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game on the Twitter page before every game, which is presented by Shane Coe, your friend in the jewelry business. And we encourage all of you to get engaged this weekend. Get on one knee, find someone you think is cute, and get engaged.
Just do it.
Good luck.
Just do the darn thing. Hope it's a yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's not technically an engagement if it's a no. But anyway, we asked you earlier in honor of Steph and LeBron playing tonight that if you were entering the NBA as a rookie and were offered the careers of LeBron James, the all-time scoring champ, four-time as a champion, four MVPs, Steph Curry, most three-pointers in league history, four championships, two-time MVP, and revolutionized the sport, which career would you choose? What do you think that our listeners here at 95.7 The Game voted on
they
this one?
They voted for Steph Curry.
At what rate?
Probably 100 to nothing.
Plus or minus.
Right.
1.5%.
Exactly. Because you're stingy like that. I gave you four stitches earlier.
What do you think? Plus or minus 1.5%.
Yeah, 1.5%.
1.5.
That's how you do it.
That's how I did it.
I'm going to say Steph Curry, 82%. LeBron James, 18%.
It's wrong.
Close.
Ish.
Right.
Yeah. 85.9% have voted for Steph Curry, and 14.1% went with LeBron James.
Yeah, I just was going off of the YouTube page, which also had the poll, and it's 82-18.
Oh.
So I thought that I would just go with that, thinking it would mirror the Twitter voters. But I do notice on the YouTube page a few more Laker fans, and there's somebody on there who I won't name check because he's been just annoying the crap out of everyone for the past couple hours.
Oh, really?
Just like Lakers propaganda. Why would you, and I appreciate you listening to the show, if you're actually listening, but you're going to go onto a Warrior station and just, in all caps, run hours upon hours of Laker propaganda? Is that how you get your jollies?
Why not?
It's just annoying.
I mean, no, I want everybody to come to the party, do whatever you want.
That's now, not true.
If we need to kick you out early, we will.
Right.
But, you know.
As a man who's thrown many a watch party.
That's true.
You don't want people to come in and, like, do what they want.
I've never kicked anyone out.
Right? I felt like I was close a couple Super Bowls ago.
Yeah, you were wasted.
False. I was not wasted.
You were wasted.
Incorrect. Was I a little bit abrasive toward your underage children?
You were red.
I was annoyed by two generations of Willards and just the beggary, the ref begging.
Beggary?
And I could see that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
No, but like nobody else in the world is out here caping up for refs. You're the only one.
No other Super Bowl party have I been at where you had a 15-year-old and a 9-year-old begging for flags.
16-year-old who had five large on the line because he was going to win my brother-in-law's pool. And, of course, what's he going to do? And then he wants every call to go his way.
Of course. And it's because their father does the same thing.
And the guy who committed the actual penalty admitted it in the locker room after the game.
Which was about four calls after the begging had started. And then, you know what? I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
I learned my lesson. Willard watch party, not for me.
Yeah, you're damn right. Yeah. Don't worry. You won't get invited anymore.
Nor will I go.
I was wasted. Gene and Oakland and his dog welcome at any of my parties. Hi, Gene. How you doing?
Guys, I'm at the dog park.
I'm all right. Actually, I just came from the dog park.
Of course you did.
A lot of dogs running around free, you know, enjoying themselves. I think you could call it a liberation sensation.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Cha-ching!
Anyways.
Gene, I love that every time that you call, you're amazed by the fact that we know that you were recently at the dog park, even though you're at the dog park at this time every single day.
Like my dog, I'm a creature of habit.
You're darn right.
Anyways. Yeah. Okay. So back to the Warriors. So listen, I don't know. Your remark about how would you feel if we won the next two games? I mean, hell, I'd be front and center on the championship bandwagon if they managed to do that. I mean, the more I think of the last game, frankly, the less good I feel. I mean, think about it. We played a team that's been struggling on the back end of a back-to-back in whose heads we reside. We had game four, Curry shooting 52 points, and we were still down by 4 points with 3 minutes to go. So all things considered, that's a little discouraging, especially when you're going up against the L.A. and Denver, two better teams. I don't know. Once again, I'm very nervous about these games. Looking at L.A., I mean, the only good thing I can think about is at least we're not facing A.D. anymore, you know. But Doncic is a load, but A.D. was one of the biggest Warrior killers of all time. So I'm hoping we don't have to rely on another game for Curry. I mean, it's going to take, you know, guys like Posts and Booty and Pods to step up. They didn't have very good games last time, as well as the big three. And we got a shot, but I'm nervous.
Yeah, Gene, I get it. I get it. And I think that there's always, like, you know, the glass half full or, half empty with regard to that Memphis game. Everybody careered it, and they still had a really close basketball game in the end. You could look at it that way. You could also look at it as, and I know Memphis played the night before, but look, it's a road game. You've been on the road for a week and a half. It's a quality opponent that needed it too. Obviously, like, they've careened down to the 8 seed, and they trail the Heat by 1, actually, at halftime. They're just getting started there in the third quarter, and Memphis put up a bucket, so now they're up by 1. But they've got another battle on their hands, and so, I don't know. It's a hard thing for me to look at road victories against playoff teams and get picky about how you got there.
Agreed. And Memphis, as much as they have been careening down the standings, they're still a good team. And, you know, Ja Morant, you and I discussed it yesterday about whether or not he's really a one. If he's your one, can you be a championship-level team? Probably not, but he still is an absolute baller. And Jaren Jackson Jr., before he fouled out, was impactful. And Memphis is still a very good team. So I don't look at any road win, especially this late in the year, and, you know, put any salt to it. You went on the road against a team ahead of you in the standings, and you won. Great work.
I think the game starts in an hour.
Which one?
The Warrior game.
Are they playing the Lakers tonight?
Or the Warriors and Lakers.
Man, we better get on home then.
Yeah, we better, because here comes Warriors Live with Evan Giddings. Warriors, Lakers, here we go. All brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Thank you so much for all of the engagement throughout the show, and thank you for your patience as we went through some difficulties, but it was still a really fun show, and glad you're with us. And do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I cannot wait.
Yeah, I think tomorrow might be fun. We're going to go down to Splash and get ready for Nuggets and Warriors and just help welcome the whole team home. So we hope that you'll come see us, especially if you've got tickets to the game. All right, here we go. This is a big one for Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.